Welcome to the Forward with Purpose podcast. Your hosts are Linda Keener Thomas from the National Memorial for the Unborn and Mindy Lefeshore from An Even Place Virtual Abortion Healing Groups and Coaching for Pro-Life Ministry Workers. We understand the power of addressing the abortion wound, which then allows us to confidently stand in the gap for the next person. We also understand how lonely and heavy this work can be. This podcast is designed to connect you with other leaders doing this work, to learn from the vast wealth of knowledge and experience that is out there. God has designed you for greater things. God has commissioned you to a precious and sacred place in abortion recovery ministry work. It is our hope you are encouraged and equipped as you move forward with purpose in your ministry. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Forward with Purpose podcast. Linda and I are here today with Sarah Hamilton of Real Options Texas. And I have to admit that we had her on the very first podcast of 2024. And we recorded it, and it was a great interview, what we're going to talk about. And I don't know what I did, but I deleted it. And so here we are again to re-record. And we're going to do this actually in two parts because she has two topics that we're going to talk about. But we are going to actually, before we officially get started, we just want to talk to you as the audience about the three of us came on today in Zoom. We're in three different locations. We hadn't talked to each other today, so we did not know what each of us was struggling with, but each of us was struggling with something, just something really little. And we would just kind of want to share that with you, I think, and hopefully encourage you as the listener. And so for me, this morning I woke up struggling with discouragement. I just wanting to quit. I mean, no real reason. There was no justification. I just kind of wanted to stop. Like, do we have to do this? Is it, you know, things aren't lining up the way I want it to be. I wouldn't say it's really hard, but things aren't lining up in some things the way I want. And it's like, why try, you know? And I just, in my flesh, I just got discouraged, and I was having all these, you know, just really negative thoughts. And then I got on today, and we'll talk about how that got remedied in a minute. But then I got on with Linda, and you know, she
same
too
thing.
Is, yeah, struggling with discouragement. I'll let you explain that a little bit, Linda.
Oh, I think you've done a great job. Just that feeling of what difference does it make? And it's just so fascinating how God just will have the enemy attacking us in the same ways and put us together today. And we just thought that maybe somebody listening to this is just struggling with that too. And we just want to encourage together that God has a plan. He uses us even in our weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And we can lift each other up.
Yeah. And actually, he's more glorified when we are weak, because when we are weak, he is strong, right?
Amen.
And so when we are strong, we don't really need the Lord. But when we are weak, we desperately need him. We recognize our need for him a lot more. Well, so Linda and I prayed before we let Sarah in. She was sitting in the waiting room for just about 30 seconds while we quickly prayed. And then she came on and said, hey, are we going to pray first? And I said, well, of course. And so I'm just going to let you share, Sarah, what was happening when you came on.
Yeah, I was just feeling overwhelmed, I would say. Mm-hmm. I think I said flighty when I came on. But I'm an introvert. So just anytime God is using me to speak in any way, it's just a little bit of anxiety there. So I think that was part of it, but just also being overwhelmed with just a lot of things I have juggling right now. So, yeah. And don't we all go through those seasons, in this ministry of ups and downs of being overwhelmed sometimes?
Well, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And then the added things of outside ministry, you know, our life and things that are happening outside. And I know, Linda, you're super busy, and, you know, I've got my own things that I'm doing, and Sarah, I'm sure you do too, because we've all got family of some sorts and friends and, you know, just things and pressures of this world. And anyway, we just wanted to be honest and to be real with everybody. And because if we all came in not knowing that we all were struggling with some sort of something, discouragement or overwhelmed or something, you know, how many of you are struggling too? And we just want to let you know that we're praying for you and we're rooting for you. and God is on your side. And when we serve a great big God who never gets weary and never, mm-hmm. never tires. And this morning, as I was struggling, I have a small little text group of friends. And one of them, she's a photographer, or she likes to hobby photograph things, I guess I should say. And her thing is she likes to take pictures of whatever. And then she prays and asks God what verse she wants to pair that with. And anyway, the picture that came through was beautiful. And when I first looked at it, I was just looking at the picture, and it was this enormous waterfall with this girl standing in the pool at the bottom, just sort of kicking her feet up in it. But the verse that she paired with it, it says, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And when I just paused long enough to meditate on that, my response was this, and I just want to share it with you, because once I realized the encouragement that God was bringing through that verse that we all know, because that's such a popular, verse, I just wrote, "Indeed, I was having some mild form of a pity party this morning. No reason, no justification for it. Just boohoo, things are hard and everyone else has it easy. But what a lie. This day, this moment, the Lord has made it and ordained it, and I'm here to see it, whether mundane and normal or exciting and surprising. I'll rejoice in the Lord for this day." And so I just hope that we can just pass along a little encouragement to y'all, whoever you are that are listening today. So I'm going to let Sarah start by just sharing a little bit about your story and how you got started with Real Options.
Absolutely. So I had an abortion when I was 19, and I was dating a guy at the time. I'm just diving right into my testimony, if you didn't notice. I was dating a guy who's now my husband, and I was a believer, but I wasn't living like it. I didn't have a daily walk with the Lord. So when I found out I was pregnant, my consuming thought was, I have to hide this. Mm-hmm. I have to fix it so nobody ever knows. The church won't know. My parents won't know. And I just told myself I have no other choice. I pretty much had tunnel vision through that. And even when I went to the clinic, they made it sound easy. Oh, it'll be over in just a few minutes. And we all know that that's a joke, right? You can't go into a place like that and come out the same. So my life was forever changed. I didn't realize it at the time. I'm like everybody else, felt some relief initially, but that didn't last long. I would say I wasn't the same person. It was really hard to keep up the appearances, and I became more self-conscious, withdrawn, didn't like to hang out with my friends. And I really, it's hard to say, but I blamed God. Mm-hmm. I told myself he didn't love me anymore. And I just really tried hard not to think about him, but really I was hating myself. And I just had convinced myself that if everybody knew that secret, that abortion, that they would hate me too. So I thought I was alone in all this. Later I found out that I wasn't. And I would say that I told you I was dating my husband. When we did get married, I carried that into our marriage. And he said, "Oh, you do what you think is best," when it came down to the abortion decision. But to me, I just put that burden on my shoulders. And I didn't see him hurting at all. And I guess I just wanted him to suffer a little bit too, because I sure was. But we started going to church again and became involved in the church. And my pastor, funny enough, told me about Real Options. He said that the church needed a liaison between the pregnancy center and the church, and asked if I'd be interested. So I blindly went to Real Options, not knowing what to expect. And at the volunteer training, found out if you'd had an abortion, you had to go through a little Bible study called Forgiven and Set Free. So that's how God got me to that point. I'd never even told anybody about my abortion experience. So this was a huge leap for me. But during that time, I would say it completely changed my life. I found out so much about God's character, who he was, that he forgave me the very first time I asked, and that the shame that I was experiencing for all those years was not from him. And I've been here ever since. It just truly blessed my life, saved my marriage. And here I am 23 years later. So, yeah.
Wow. You know, and I have the gift of having notes from our previous conversation when you shared your story. And one of the things that you talked about previously is that you couldn't say the word abortion. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, it was just the shame factor. I felt like if anybody looked at me, they would know if abortion was being discussed. I would say, especially at church. If they said a word, I just felt like my face was red, you know, like I needed to hide it. I definitely couldn't say that word, that bad word, abortion.
What
which
was
is so
it?
Funny.
What was it about that word, do you think, that made you not want to say it?
Well, not only was it shame, I think it was pride, in that I in my head, I had that as the unforgivable sin. And just that, yeah, that God wasn't going to forgive me for that one.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that there was an identity crisis going on there by using the word abortion?
Yeah. I hadn't thought about it like that, but yeah.
Yeah. Somehow we think that that's who we are. We are the abortion when we can't say that word.
And I've seen that with a lot of women through the years, you know, that the procedure or, you know, however they term it, they just avoid
Yes.
it.
Yes. Yes. So how long ago was your abortion, and how long ago did you get started in Real Options?
Yes. So I had the abortion in 91 and then started, I went through the Bible study in 2001. So 10 years after my abortion, started helping out soon after, but had kids here and there throughout that time, and then came on staff with Real Options in 2005.
Okay. And you've been there since 2005 as staff.
Yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we wanted to celebrate that. That's a long time to be working in this ministry. So we commend you, definitely.
Thank you.
So then your abortion recovery ministry, would you call it a standalone ministry, or it's under the umbrella, the Pregnancy Center?
Yes, we're under the umbrella of Real Options.
Okay. And have you been doing abortion recovery since 2005?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Awesome. And what study do you use?
We use Forgiven and Set Free. That's the only one we have used on a regular basis.
Okay. And you haven't incorporated any other studies recently, or have you thought about incorporating other studies with the advent of, you know, women coming sooner and in active trauma and in grief and those kinds of things?
We have used Unraveled Roots as a way to kind of get the feet wet, I guess you could say, or kind of warm up to the idea of groups in general. And we've actually done that as a faith-based study as well, because they have some things you can bring in to make it faith-based. But we've also done it non-faith-based.
Okay. Okay.
But well, the idea is always to get to that woman who's experienced abortion to do Forgiven and Set Free, or to do a biblical healing,
right?
Because obviously that's the only way that she's truly going to be healed is through Jesus. So
yes,
amen.
That's always the goal.
Yes. Yes. So then, and this is the reason why we were having you on mostly, is because you recently gave, was it last year? You went to CareNet and gave a workshop, or did a breakout session?
Yeah, I did.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you did it on workshops after, I don't know what the title of it was, but some workshops that you do after your abortion recovery group is over. So I just want you to talk to us about that a little bit.
Yeah. So It was called Forgiven and They're Forgiven and Set Free. Now What is what we called it. And we just talked about aftercare and really pointing out that aftercare is continued discipleship. That's what it is. So we've been offering an annual retreat for years for anyone who participated in Forgiven and Set Free. We get together, have dinner, and just have some time together for encouragement. But I was noticing that some of the women who came to those who don't keep in touch as much or talk about their abortion experiences, they were more prone to listening to the lies of the enemy, basically, and sinking back down into shame. So up until this point, I would just work with women one-on-one when they were developing their testimonies, like if they would ask about a time to start giving their testimonies and start planning that. So I was thinking, why not have a testimony workshop and kind of utilize that group dynamic that we so love and Forgiven and Set Free, right? We see the community and being able to bounce off of what other people are experiencing, because in that the abortion experience is so shame-based that you normally don't talk about it. So having a place to talk about and develop your testimony seemed like a good idea. So that's how the testimony workshop was born.
Okay. Now, is there other workshops that you're doing?
Not currently. We've kind of zeroed in on that.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the main one we're doing right now.
So when you say workshop, is that a one meeting event that you're doing?
So we usually, after we finish a study or a retreat, we'll have a workshop, and I invite pretty much everyone on the list. We like to keep it as simple as possible. We do have the one-time event, and then generally I follow up with them individually after we've met as a group. But sometimes we've decided, oh, we're going to do this again, and so we have another one right after.
Okay, and so give us an idea of what that workshop looks like if you were to break it down, kind of what your agenda is.
Yeah, so one of the things we do is just talk about the importance of testimony, just reminding the ladies that they have a powerful story to share, that theirs alone, God gave them that story. And we talk about the fact that we share our testimony in order to bring glory to God and to be able to join him in the work that he's doing. So once we've kind of outlined about why we do it, I always like to share the 1 Peter 3:15 verse about always being prepared to give an account to everyone for the hope that is in you. And I believe that includes abortion as well. God doesn't say we have to tell everyone about our experience, but we have to be prepared to share. So this is what we want to do. We want to help them prepare. Then we kind of get down into the framework of it on how to develop their testimony. And so we talk about what their life was like before, what their, you know, because they didn't have that abortion in a vacuum. There were things going on in their lives to get them to that point. Who influenced their decision, the actual event itself, and then their feelings immediately following, and what were some of the problems they experienced. Then
so
we
kind
talk
of giving
about,
them a bit of an outline there, kind of an outline that they can follow, and that makes it really easy for them.
Absolutely. So it's almost like a filling in the blank kind of situation, mm-hmm. and they can use that as a journaling exercise. And then if we have one of those where we're going to get back together after the initial time, then they can bring what their work and we can all discuss it. And then they have that safe place to share, that they're not going to be judged. They're going to feel safe and be able to share with the women.
That's good. That's really good. And so So on the framework, you talked about what life was like before, who influenced their decision, feelings following or their experiences following the abortion. And then what's the next part of that framework?
When did they seek help? Basically, what was that breaking point, if you will, that caused them to reach out for help? And then as they're going through, hopefully they went through some kind of healing. How did God heal you? What did you learn during that time? What did he teach you? And then what is God doing in your life right now? Because we're all going to keep healing this side of heaven, right? We're just going to keep hopefully growing in our faith instead of going the other way, stepping back from our faith. Hopefully we're going to keep growing in our faith. And I think it's really important that they kind of talk a bit more about those last two, about what God is really doing in their life, because that's the point of the testimony, right? Is to bring glory to him.
Yeah. Yeah. So then in this, is this first session where you're just kind of giving them the history and the framework, and then they're going to write it. And then the next time they get together, they're going to actually share it with each other and talk about it. Is that what you kind of do?
Yes.
Okay.
We like to kind of leave it open because without too many expectations, I guess. Okay. I want the women to feel like they can come, even if they're not ready to share. Maybe they just want to hear. Maybe they just want to sit and listen. That's perfectly fine. Okay. Some people, they say, oh, well, I have thoughts in my head. I just don't have them on paper. That's fine. And sometimes they just start talking and they share a little bit and then they say, okay, that's all I want to share. That's fine. But then we also have those that are preparing, getting them polished up, getting them ready to share with a group, which is always fun too.
Yeah. Yeah, that is, that's exciting. And then you get to see what they actually really did learn in your group. I like that. Because
do you have any great stories, Sarah, of yeah. women that have gone on and shared in their church, or what other kind of settings have they been able to go on and share in?
Yeah, this one lady comes to mind. She went through one of our 4-day retreats, and she had already gone through healing, a different Bible study probably 10 years prior. And she was coming to our center to volunteer. So she just wanted to kind of do a check, make sure where she needed to be spiritually and emotionally, had the right mindset going into volunteer. But obviously God had other plans. Throughout that time, he really impressed upon her the importance of sharing her testimony. So she started developing her testimony, came to the workshop. We worked on her testimony, and she went and shared it with our whole women's. It was at a women's retreat, and a group of us went to, you know, be her support while she did that. She did an amazing job. And then she just started seeking out other places that the Lord might have her share. And so she's just been on fire, just really sharing. She went through the study, I would say, about a year and a half ago, and she's just really been sharing. What I like about it is she's just really stepped out of her comfort zone. She's a very quiet, reserved person, and so it's just evident that it's God that is leading her out to share, which I love that.
That's so cool. I like that. I like that. Thanks for sharing. So how often do you offer this workshop?
We do probably about 3 or 4 times a year. That's okay. Not counting the follow-ups, because the follow-ups are kind of as needed.
Okay. Okay. So you do them after you do a group?
Yes.
Okay. Are you letting any time in between those two, the group and the workshop?
Yes. Usually a couple months.
Okay.
Kind of let them sit in it. See, we let them know it's coming so they can kind of be thinking about it. I think the acceptance chapter does a really good job because, you know, it talks about what's next. And so they can start thinking about that then. And also we ask them, you know, are you going to share with anybody? And so when they start thinking about those things, then they'll be ready for the testimony workshop down the road.
That's good. Yeah. And, you know, giving people some time to think as they get back into their lives and now they're taking this new healing in and seeing how it all works together, you know, how they're how things have changed. That's probably a really good idea. So who leads this particular workshop? Is this you or do your other leaders lead it or?
Currently, I'm leading them, but I would say because there's different levels of, I guess you could say different levels of healing, people in different places in their walk with the Lord coming, that it's, I would say it's more of a collaboration. I just kind of have to facilitate the discussion because everybody's jumping in.
Yeah. All right. And so you mentioned earlier that it's sort of a combination of your participants. So it could be those who were 2 months removed from their abortion or from their study group, or maybe past participants from a previous study group. You're just opening it up to anybody who was had been through a group or retreat.
So they don't necessarily know each other. Yeah.
Okay.
They don't, but it's so neat to see how they bond, you know, when they're sharing their stories, whether they're similar or not, and just supporting each other. So I've seen it even at that point, just how quickly they bond.
So is this like a 2-hour study or a 2-hour workshop?
It is. Yes.
Okay. Boy, and I keep getting my words jumbled up, mixed up, using them like wrong here. Okay. One of those days. Well, Sarah, thank you for taking some time to share with us about your workshop. And we look forward to talking to you about the reunion shortly.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.